Welcome to God's Acre on the Go, a worship podcast of the Congregational Church of New Canaan in New Canaan, Connecticut. To learn about the life of our church, our in-person ministries, and the virtual connections and offerings available, please visit us at www.godsacre.org. Now, wherever you are, wherever you are going, we welcome you to worship.
Church family, good morning. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to God's Acre on the Go, wherever you happen to be, whatever you're doing, wherever you're traveling. Know that we're grateful to have you tuning in. We're going to be looking today at Jesus's discourse in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John, where Jesus has been trying to come up with an image or a metaphor to kind of explain and express who he is and how he and God are connected and how we're supposed to relate to him as well. And he settles on this image of the Good Shepherd. And we're going to consider that image as we consider our relationship with Jesus today and our call to follow him. And in that spirit, I'm going to invite you to prepare your hearts and minds for worship as we listen to our very own Nick Dupuy and Greer Lyle sing for us, "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus." So we're looking in the Gospel of John chapter 10, as I mentioned, this section of Scripture where Jesus is trying to figure out an image that will help the people who are listening to him, who are following him, understand who he is and what he's about. And so in the 11th verse of the 10th chapter, Jesus says, "I am the Good Shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hands run away because the hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay my life down for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold, and I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. I have received this command from the Father." So, I don't know if you've ever experienced this. You kind of have these moments where you have some degree of clarity about your role and responsibility in life, your role and responsibility at work, in your relationships. You kind of have these moments where you firmly are able to say, you know, this is who I am and this is what I'm about. But then life happens, right? The demands of the day, unexpected interruptions, pressing tasks kind of intrude on our sense of identity and take us wherever those tasks insist that we must go. And after a while, there's this kind of unintended drift that occurs, and circumstance begins to define who we are more than our own sense of self or more than God's call on our lives. Have you ever experienced that? That kind of subtle drift away from who you feel you are truly created to be? I mean, if only there was a shepherd. If only there was a shepherd to guide us back toward our truest self. as a pastor, this drift that I'm talking about happens with what feels, at least to me, like alarming regularity. Pastoral ministry is such an eclectic vocation. So many odd jobs and really quite odd jobs at times. It just doesn't take long for confusion about roles and responsibilities set in. And when that happens, when I get a little bit confused, I tend to go back to my ordination vows, those vows that I took when I first became a pastor, and I look at them in a job that is so multifaceted. Sometimes I want to know, what did I actually promise to do? I was in that place of busied befuddlement this past Lent, kind of getting carried away by so many different tasks. And that's when I stumbled upon James Rebank's book, The Shepherd's Life. Because the Latin etymology of pastor is shepherd, I kind of dove into the volume looking for some kind of vocationally applicable insight. And Rebanks is this wonderful shepherd in the Lakes region of Great Britain, where he and his neighbors and their ancestors have been grazing sheep on the fells for thousands of years, going back well before the time of Christ. And apparently, very little has changed in that locale and in that profession in that particular place. So as I was thinking about it, it's not unreasonable to assume that while Jesus was preaching about being a good shepherd in the Gospel of John, there were actually shepherds far, far away in a fell, trying their best to be good at their jobs too. Perhaps good shepherding in Palestine and good sheep husbandry in the fells share some important characteristics. So it's in the context of reading that book that I come to this scripture about the good shepherd. And in the Gospel of John, Jesus spent a fair amount of time and creativity, I think, trying to define his role and responsibility. Not so much for himself. Jesus understood who he was and who he was called to be and what he was called to do, but he's trying to clarify for those who were following him. Jesus was kind of working, as I said, to find an image or a metaphor that would best capture who he was and how we're supposed to relate to him and to God. And what we find in the Gospel of John is Jesus employed seven I am statements. He says, I am, seven different times in an attempt to describe himself and his ministry. So he says, I am the bread of life. And when that didn't entirely catch people, he said, I am the light of the world. I am the sheep gate at one point, he says. He says, and you probably remember this one, I am the resurrection and the life. Later, he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He tries again to say, I am the vine, you are the branches. But in this chapter, in chapter 10, as people were struggling to comprehend the person and purpose of Jesus, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And for whatever reason, that image seemed to connect, probably because of the shepherding culture in Hebrew society at that time. Jesus was essentially saying that he is the shepherd and we are the sheep. Though this text is clearly less about the sheep, less about us, and more about the character of Jesus. So in selecting this image of a shepherd, Jesus was drawing on some beloved Old Testament, some beloved Hebrew Bible imagery. I know sometimes when we think of shepherds, we think of rather lowly people. But in shepherding cultures, like that of the Hebrews and those working in the English fells to this day, shepherding's a very noble profession. The Hebrew people, hearkening back to the time of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses, they were all shepherds. And you may remember, even King David's story began when he was a shepherd boy. In Hebrew scripture, the image of shepherd was also employed to describe the nature of God. You know, beloved Psalm 23, where it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And later on in Psalm 78 and Psalm 80, it says similar things. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock. And then in the prophet Ezekiel, it says, for thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. So the image of a shepherd was a noble and sacred image that Jesus used to describe himself, an image he used to describe the intended relationship between God and God's people. Now, as I read Rebank's book that I referenced a moment ago, and considering this image Jesus was employing in the 10th chapter of John, I could see that there are at least three characteristics shared by highly regarded or, frankly, good shepherds that I think can help us understand Jesus and our relationship with him. And I want to share these three with you. And the first is this, that good shepherds give their all. Now, according to Rebanks, what giving their all means is things like protecting the sheep from predators, making sure the sheep get to good pasture each day, ensuring the sheep are safe in foul weather, attending to all the sheep in lambing season, even helping with delivery when necessary. It means making sure there's enough food and adequate shelter for the winter months. It also means regularly checking for parasites and signs of disease and going after sheep when they get lost, which it turns out sheep tend to do with frustrating regularity. And when the day is done, when you are as dog-tired as your faithful sheepdog, truly good shepherds, at least in the fells, go over to their neighbors to see if those neighbors need extra help with their flocks. You see, there's no day off for a good shepherd. Good shepherds give their all 24/7, 365. And I think that's what Jesus was saying. Jesus said the mark of a good shepherd was to give their all, but he goes a little bit farther, even unto death. A good shepherd is willing to sacrifice their own life before allowing harm to befall their flock. The focus of this text is Jesus telling people that he was willing to lay down his life. He was willing to die for the welfare of the flock. That means for us. Jesus was saying that he would rather die before he would lose anyone. Lose meaning having sheep, having us wander away from the flock and the family into some kind of eternal oblivion, I think. In chapter 10, Jesus stated his willingness to give his all for the good of the flock, and we know that is exactly what he did. Jesus kept preaching and teaching and healing folks, and he was doing it in an effort to draw people into closer and more committed relationship with God. And that mission and ministry, you know this, ended in the cross. However, and follow me here, the good news is that Jesus' sacrifice so moved God. Jesus' sacrifice, his willing to sacrifice himself, so pleased and moved God that Jesus' act of love and devotion for us has served to cover our sins and has allowed us the opportunity to be reconciled, to be made right with God for all the time. Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. I give them, that means us, the sheep, I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. See, Jesus' sacrifice has led to our salvation. Now, because of the loving sacrifice of the Good Shepherd, the Father, as Jesus often referred to God, the Father has chosen to honor the Son's sacrifice by forgiving us and saving us for all eternity. So Jesus and Rebanks agree. Shepherds give their all. Now, the second thing, good shepherds know how to enhance the quality and character of their sheep and their flocks. Now, honestly, I got this more from Rebanks than from Jesus in chapter 10, but I think it applies well to our Lord. So, fell shepherds, they go to the sheep markets each year looking to acquire sheep and ewes that have traits that shepherds would like to breed into their own flocks, okay? This is apparently very tricky business because it's kind of difficult to look at a herd of hundreds of sheep and just kind of pick out a handful that will strengthen your flock. It's not easy business. And shepherds don't always agree on what makes for improved herds. But shepherds who have a good eye and intuition for the qualities that make for better flocks, they know what they're looking for. And when they select well and when people see that their flock thrives, those shepherds become highly regarded. You know, as I read Jesus' teachings, and maybe as you do too, particularly I think of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, I realize that's kind of what Jesus was doing throughout his ministry. Jesus was trying to encourage people to kind of tease out, if you will, characteristics in us that are holy and good and spiritually strengthening. Jesus knew what he wanted to see in us, and he called those traits forth in ways that he believed would be pleasing to God and beneficial to the flock. So things like care for the poor and the infirmed, compassion for those in need, love for enemies even, prayer for people who desire to do us harm, doing unto others as we would have them do unto us, loving the Lord our God with all our heart and all our mind and all our spirit. Jesus was and to this day is a good shepherd who knows the characteristics he wants to see expressed in us and expressed in the entire flock. Now, the third quality of a good shepherd, one that may be as intriguing as it is unsettling, is this. The best shepherds in the fells, are the ones who annually win competitions. So, third characteristic, good shepherds have sheep who show well. Good shepherds have sheep who show well. You know a good shepherd if they've got a whole bunch of blue ribbons on a shelf at home. And it's just a fact. You know, I admit, it might seem a little spiritually shallow to consider the mark of a good shepherd by how well they do in competition, but it's a reality. Good shepherds, sheep, show well. They're the ones who effectively demonstrate the characteristics the shepherd has worked to produce in them. And that got me thinking, how well do we show? I mean, personally, do I show well for Jesus? Do you? Does this flock we're a part of, this church, reflect well on the shepherd we profess to follow? You know, it might not be the most important question to be asked, but it's not a bad one to consider. In a cynical world and a very judgmental age, Jesus will be judged by how well we demonstrate his handiwork to others. It's just a fact. And one of the things we learn in the early church in Acts is that early Christians were living the Jesus way. They were living out Jesus's commands, and people witnessed just how they were living. And it was so compelling and so different from the harsh and oftentimes hateful world that people were immersed in that folks wanted to be a part of the Jesus movement, and it just grew and grew and grew. They saw the way the people were living. They saw the flock, and they wanted to be a part of it. So, first, a good shepherd gives their all. Second, a good shepherd helps produce beneficial traits and characteristics in their sheep and their flocks. And third, a good shepherd has sheep who show well, who demonstrate their best to those who might judge them. If you want to know who Jesus is, just consider the image that he himself offered in an attempt to explain his role and responsibility to us. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." Now, as a parting consideration, and I am wrapping up, and for those moments when we drift, when we get lost or begin to lose our sense of self, perhaps it's wise to consider the qualities of good sheep as Jesus articulated in this text. Jesus is a good shepherd. Let's consider how we can be better sheep, okay? Now, to get to that, there's a pronounced theme in John 10. At the very beginning of the chapter, Jesus says, "The sheep follow him because they know his voice." And in the middle of the chapter, Jesus says, "I know my own and my own know me. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice." And then the chapter wraps up by Jesus saying, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me." So, good sheep hear the voice of the shepherd and choose to follow. Simple. Good sheep trust the shepherd. Good sheep heed the word of the Lord. Now, I want you to know that you are listening this morning and you're drawn to our community of faith in one way or another, in person or virtually or both, because you have heard the voice of the shepherd in song, in scripture, in word, in prayer, or simply through the fellowship of our flock on top God's acre. Somewhere along the line, somewhere in your history, you have heard the voice of Jesus, even if you weren't fully able to understand it, but you've heard the voice of Jesus and you have chosen to follow. Perhaps you'd gotten a little lost and you've experienced being found, which is often how trust builds between shepherd and sheep. Well, because you followed, you are now in the faithful care and tending of our good shepherd. We are all in his hands. So let's allow our good shepherd to shape our character so that we might live well and show well for the glory of our good shepherd, for our own good, for the good of the world. For the Lord is our shepherd, thanks be to God. We shall not want nor wander away. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for the images that illustrate in important ways who you are and who we are called to be and what our relationship is supposed to be like. Lord God, if we watch shepherds, we realize that rather skittish sheep trust at least the one who leads them. And Lord, while we are skittish at times, nervous and anxious, help us. Help us, we pray, to trust you, to trust that your commands are good, that you are able to see beyond what we are able to see. Therefore, We must heed your word and follow your way. And to do that, Lord, we need your encouragement. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, church family, it is into a new week that we go together, hopefully following our Lord and Savior and Good Shepherd Jesus. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with kindness and give you peace now and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Worship on the Go. To support this podcast and the ministries of our church, please consider making a contribution by clicking the Give button in the top right on our website, www.godsacre.org, or within today's email. God bless you and have a wonderful week.